and you're listening to TV Confidential.
Ed Robertson, welcoming you back to TV Confidential, radio talk show about television. I'm very happy to welcome back Mr. Pat Boone. Pat Boone, the legendary singer and actor and all-around entertainer who not only celebrated his 90th birthday a few months back, but also marked his 70th year in show business. Pat Boone not only has sold more than 45 million records and recorded more than 2,700 songs, he has also appeared in nearly 30 motion pictures, the latest of which, Our Crossroads, is based on the true story of Bob and Barbara Fraley, a young couple who in 1969 followed their beliefs and, on the strength of their faith, successfully gained guardianship of six orphans. All that despite facing numerous obstacles from friends and family. Our Crossroads is set in both present-day Arizona and 1969 Ohio. Pat Boone and Michael Learned play Mr. and Mrs. Fraley in their later years, telling the story in the flashback. Our Crossroads also stars Tom Wopat, Kevin Sorbo, and Dean Cain. We'll tell you more about Our Crossroads in just a second, but first we began our conversation by asking Pat. Pat, how are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. Just came from the gym, a great hard workout with a trainer, and so I'm worn out, but I know, but I'm feeling good.
Well, I have a feeling if I do my job right, our conversation will energize you.
Yeah, well, if it's talking about things that are happening to me and for me and through me, then yeah, I do get excited about it.
I'm going to start off by asking you a few questions about Our Crossroads, and because I know that's had some release in the last couple weeks. Then I know you completed production of the movie in which you played Thomas Jefferson. I know that's coming. That's supposed to come out later in 2025. I'll ask you about that.
Yeah, I'm very proud of that. Though Kevin Sorbo plays Jefferson in the earlier part of the film. And then I take over for the latter Jefferson, including his death scene. So, two of my movies, I've already died in.
Well, actually, that's a pretty good way to start, because something similar goes on in Our Crossroads, where you play an older version of a character. Your character and Michael Learned's character, you tell the story of our Crossroads in flashback, and so we see you as the present day Bob Fraley, and then in the flashbacks another actor plays the younger Bob Fraley. In a situation like that, Pat, do the actors who play the older version and the younger version of the same character, do they confer with each other?
No, and you'd think they would, but this was not a huge studio big production film, and it's well made and well directed, and I'm proud of it. But no, I did not meet the guy who played the young Bob Fraley, and I did not meet the real Bob Fraley until just a few days ago, because it was at the premiere, a sneak premiere of the film, which I got to see for the first time, and I sat two rows back in the theater from the real Bob Fraley, and when I saw him coming in. Outside the theater, the big Directors Guild theater, I saw this fella being helped out of his car with a cane, and I thought, I bet that's Bob Fraley. I'd never met him. I talked to him on the phone before I played him and was going into the actual production. So I did. I couldn't get much in the way of instruction. I just told him I was going to do my best to portray him in the very complimentary way, which I think he deserved. I know he did. But anyway, I saw him getting out of the limo, and I, too, had a cane at that moment from a hip surgery, which I am recovering from. And so I came in, and I wound up sitting two rows behind him before we were even introduced. And I said, are you Bob Fraley? He said, yes. Well, I said, well, so am I. Nice to meet you. I'm your double, and it was very friendly and fun, and he loved the movie the way he was portrayed by me and the other actor, and of course his whole family, the kids that he had adopted, except the one who had died, were there, all of them, in the theater as we watched their story. And I'm there just as a sort of a figurehead who did play him in his latter years in the last scene in the film, in which I lead a prayer, and they let me just make it up, the prayer for the family and thanking God for our blessed home. They blessed the home by adopting five kids from a couple that had been killed in an accident and took their children in and raised them with their own three. So that makes, I think it was nine kids, really.
Nine kids at all. Plus.
Yeah, nine kids, yeah. So it was great to be with the real Bob Fraley and to feel like he feels that I portrayed him well.
Pat Boone's on the line with us. Pat Boone stars along with Michael Learned, Tom Wolpat, Kevin Sorbo, Dean Cain, many, many others in Our Crossroads, a new biopic that tells a true story of Bob and Barbara Fraley, young couple who adopted six children in 1969 following the tragic car accident of a family friend. Rather than split up the family unit, the Fraleys petitioned the state courts to keep all six siblings together to join with their existing family of five as all 11 traveled across the country to start a new life together. Our Crossroads was recently screened in a few select cities, including Los Angeles, which Pat just mentioned, as well as Scottsdale, Arizona, and Greenville, Ohio. For more information on the movie, to find out if it's coming to a city near you, go to ourcrossroads.movie, ourcrossroads.movie, or Our Crossroads Movie on Facebook. I understand that you first met Michael Learned on the movie. You'd never crossed paths with her before. This is a stupid question, but I'm not an actor. Let me ask it anyway. How do you go, as an actor, Pat, how do you go from, "Hi, Michael, nice to meet you," to playing two people who have been married for more than 50 years and shared all this whole lifetime of experiences together? How do you go from 0 to 60?
I tell you, she made it so easy. Of course, I was familiar with her from the Waltons.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so surprised to see that she still seems today as not as young, but much younger than you would think.
Yes.
One that was already playing an older woman in the Waltons. But she is a consummate actress, of course, and a lovely woman in her own self. And as we sat that long, long afternoon where we filmed most of our scenes, I got to know her well. And, of course, I was, as an actor, but identifying with her as having been her husband and had lived that rich life as she did, and esteeming her like I did. And we felt a connection. We really did. And then at the premiere, we had plenty of time to get together again, her with her more recent husband, nice man. I'm glad that he was happy with the way that I had held hands with, and even impulsive, it was not in the script, but leaned over and kissed her on the cheek in one scene, and as a just an expression of endearment, which just, you know, impulsively I did, and which she welcomed. So it was really a wonderful experience because, you know, her fame and her recognizability, you know, as the mama in the Walton,
mm-hmm.
gave her a built-in character and likelihood. You know, audiences would love her right away, and they do. And, of course, I was playing the husband who had loved her for all those years and shared those experiences. So it was a great experience, even at the premieres, we said goodbye, and she let me kiss her on the cheek again, and her husband winking at me. it was a relationship that I think we'll both treasure for the rest of our lives, which may not be a long time, but we can treasure it.
Pat Boone is on the line with us. Pat can be seen in Our Crossroads, a true story of family and faith that also stars Michael Learned, Tom Wolpat, Kevin Sorbo, and Dean Cain. Our Crossroads recently was screened in a few select cities, including L.A., Scottsdale, Arizona, and Greenville, Ohio. To find out if it is coming to a city near you, go to ourcrossroads.movie. Do you know whether the movie is going to be released, you know, on home entertainment or in other cities, or is that still to be determined, Pat?
I am told that it will be July, sort of an all-out, all-available kind of a release. And look, let me just say something about it.
Sure.
I've been in the movies off and on for, well, 60 years. My recording career is a 70-year career. But in the middle of that, I began to make movies like State Fair and Journey to the Center of the Earth and some films that are now considered really classics, Rodgers and Hammerstein musicals and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So I know something about the movie business, and I am aware that there was a long time when American movies were our major export to the rest of the world. They told the world that America was a great place in which to live, a great place of character, and a society where good guys were honored and the bad guys were punished or caught up with and put out of business, and it made the world envy our country. Something happened in the 70s, and we began to export on television shows like Dallas and other shows in which wealthy, successful Americans were corrupt and would take advantage of other people and adulterous, and then those things became widely popular all over the world. And then the movies took it up and filmed rotten, corrupt stories in which quite often the villains, the killers, are the heroes and the ones you want to wait and see again because of the way they're filmed. And we are exporting corruption and degradation and violence and smut and just outright, I think, evil to the rest of the world in the films and even television now. And now the Internet is enabling the worst things to be seen. If you want to look for them, they're there. And they are looked after, and they are popular and very lucrative for the creators. The worse it is sometimes, the more money it will make. And so I am so upset about that because film is very, very, and has always been influential. And it's been influential on young people especially, but on all of us. And what we see in the films and which things that are applauded and honored, they become very popular in just the regular society. And we're going to be paying terrible prices for a long time. I just want people to go and take their families, their kids, to see this film that we're talking about right now, Crossroads, because it's a true story of real people who did real things and who brought good into the world and have been blessed for it. And it's the kind of examples that we ought to be producing and showing and promoting in film. And because there's an onslaught of stuff that is terrible poison, really, spiritual and moral poison. But we need antidotes like this film. And if we let it go by and don't, like the Reagan film I'm in as well, in which this film is very, very complimentary, as it should be, to Ronald Reagan and Nancy, and the kind of president that he was, and who I think ought to be on that big mountain,
Mount Rushmore. Yeah.
Anyway, we need to see these films. We need to pay to see them. We need to promote them because if we make them profitable, then the movie business will make more of them. If we don't, then we're going to get more of the garbage.
Pat Boone can be seen in Our Crossroads. Pat Boone, along with Michael Learned, Tom Wopat, Kevin Sorbo, Dean Cain, Our Crossroads, recently screened in Los Angeles, Scottsdale, Arizona, and Greenville, Ohio. If all goes well, it will be released wide in July of 2025. To keep up for more information, go to ourcrossroads.movie, ourcrossroads.movie. As Pat just mentioned, Pat Boone can also be seen in Regan, The new biopic about our 40th president, starring Dennis Quaid and Penelope Ann Miller. Regan now available viewing on demand, many streaming platforms. He will soon be seen as Thomas Jefferson, one of our founding fathers in the American Miracle, a journey through many of the significant events that led to America's rise to power. The American Miracle, I understand, is scheduled for release in 2025. Similar question to what I asked you before, Pat. When you play a historical figure, such as Thomas Jefferson, or when you appear in a movie based on a historical figure or based on a historical event such as the Reagan movie, do you approach the material any differently than you would if you were playing a fictional character, or do you just think
Now, for instance, when I was getting real close to doing my part and getting to going to Minneapolis where I was going to be filming, I called the director and I said, you know, I've been going over the script and this is Elizabethan type English. I mean, really, because the in that time period.
Yes. We're talking 18th century, yeah.
They spoke, I mean, Washington, Jefferson, they were highly educated, mm-hmm. and they spoke in educated ways, and that this is just the way they wanted to be heard and seen. They weren't talking like Harry Truman or Donald Trump. they were talking like really educated people.
Yeah.
And I was worried because it, you know, it didn't come trippingly off my tongue. and so I called the director just a couple of days before I flew to Minneapolis. I said, look, it just occurred to me, because I was really struggling with trying to make Jefferson sound like I thought he should sound.
Mm-hmm.
I said, wait a minute, he was a Southerner, wasn't he? He was in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And should I be speaking with a little bit of a drawl? And he said, yes. He said he was definitely a Southerner. A Southerner, not a Southerner, but a Southerner. Southerner, yes, he was definitely a Southerner. And so I had to, in my execution of the of his speeches, I tried to sound more like a man that had been raised in the South and not a Northerner. So, I wanted to sound like I thought Jefferson. Now, I did a thing about Lincoln, too. It's an animated thing that has yet its release date is still indeterminate, but I wanted to, they asked me to do the Lincoln's Gettysburg Address.
Oh, wow.
As the voice of Lincoln. Now, so here I'm being Lincoln and Reagan and Jefferson. and you don't think I feel honored and grateful to that, then you just don't know me. But as Lincoln, I knew that he was a country boy. He was from Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
He was, you know, grew up in a log cabin.
And as Pat just mentioned, A Miracle in the Valley is available viewing on demand as we speak. Pat Boone can also be seen opposite Michael Learned, Tom Wolpeck, Kevin Sorbo, and Dean Cain in Our Crossroads. Our Crossroads, scheduled for wide release later in 2025. More information, ourcrossroads.movie. Pat will be back for part two of our conversation next week on TV Confidential. We'll talk a little more about The American Miracle, another movie scheduled for release in 2025, in which Pat plays Thomas Jefferson. We'll also ask him about some of his earlier movie roles, including working with such leading ladies as Barbara Eden and Shirley Jones. Pat Boone, part two of our conversation next week on TV Confidential. We'll take a quick time out, then we'll welcome Dawn Moore, daughter of Clayton Moore, the actor known around the world as the Lone Ranger. Dawn Moore will join us a week back on TV Confidential. One more item. Are you starting a company in an emerging market or developing something new? Do you have intellectual property but aren't sure how to protect it? Reach out to our friends at Tectonic Law. They offer rock-solid representation for groundbreaking industries who need help capturing and protecting their full portfolio of intellectual property and intangible assets, including trademark rights, copyright rights, and privacy rights. Tectonic Law streamlines the complex intricacies of intellectual property and business law in easy-to-understand terms that will help you and your company form a concrete plan of action to secure and protect the value of your brand and your creative work product. Tectonic Law is licensed to practice through throughout the state of California. They also practice before such tribunals as the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office and the Internet Corporation for assigned names and numbers. Go to TectonicLaw.com to learn more about how Tectonic Law can help your business thrive. TectonicLaw.com, rock solid representation for groundbreaking industries.
This portion of TV Confidential is brought to us by our friends at Front Porch Realty, the community of realtors in the Northern Bay area of California that is committed to finding the solution that is best for their clients. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or looking to sell or lease your property in Northern California, call Karen Strain at 415-886-7411 or visit frontporchrealtygroup.com for more information on how they can help you.
This portion of TV Confidential is brought to you by PrisonFit. PrisonFit, a new, comprehensive, and integrated approach to exercise, food, and employment that was developed by prisoners, for prisoners, parolees, and anyone else listening to this program who would like to improve their overall health and well-being. You can learn more about PrisonFit by going to PrisonFitLife.com. PrisonFit's mission is to create work, programs, and partnerships that will provide both incarcerated inmates and released or paroled individuals with meaningful employment, training, rehabilitation, and reentry opportunities while treating them with dignity and respect. PrisonFit's main program, Introduction to Small Business, not only has graduated more than 500 in-prison students, but has produced a two-year released graduate recidivism rate of 6.7%. PrisonFit will expand its Introduction to Small Business program on a statewide basis in 2025, and this is where you can help. PrisonFit is conducting a Kickstarter campaign throughout the month of January 2025 to offer the public various fitness publications and products. The proceeds from this campaign will not only complete and launch these publications and products, but will provide the necessary resources for PrisonFit statewide in-prison Introduction to Small Business course. For more information, go to PrisonFitLife.com and click on the Go to Kickstarter button. That's PrisonFitLife.com. Click on the Go to Kickstarter button, PrisonFitLife.com. Click on the Go to Kickstarter button, or go to Kickstarter.com and search for PrisonFit. Dan Robertson, welcoming you back to TV Confidential Radio Talk Show about Television. Now we'll shift gears this segment as we say hello to Ms. Dawn Moore. Dawn has enjoyed a very successful career as a marketer of fancy luxury things, which, if I understand it correctly, and Dawn will tell me if I got it wrong, ranges from such specific things as interior design, interior decorating, fine jewelry, and trade shows to more conceptual things such as influencer alliances and branding. As an expert in her field, Dawn Moore has appeared on E!, Entertainment Tonight, CBS News Extra, and Access Hollywood. Plus, she's been quoted in the LA Times, The Hollywood Reporter, The New Yorker, and other fine publications. Dawn Moore is also the daughter of Clayton Moore. Clayton Moore, the actor known around the world of three generations of television viewers as the Lone Ranger, a character whose values Dawn's dad embodied for more than 40 years, long after the Lone Ranger TV series went off the air. We happened to meet Dawn Moore a couple weeks ago at the opening night ceremonies for the new Roy Rogers exhibit at the Hollywood Museum. Dawn was kind enough to accept our invitation to come on our program this week to share some memories about her dad. Dawn Moore, welcome to TV Confidential.
Thank you so much for inviting me. This will be fun.
Yes, yes. We were talking before we formally started recording. I think it's very cool that one of the things you do as part of your business is branding. And branding, for those who aren't familiar with the term, basically you don't do anything, you don't say anything that is not in step with the message you want to convey as a person or you want your product to convey. So everything is done in line with that message. And that is essentially what your dad did the last 40 years of his life. With all the personal appearances he did as the Lone Ranger, he always did it in character, and he always stayed true to what that character embodied to him. I don't know whether the fact that you entered branding is just a coincidence, or maybe some of what your father did rubbed off on you and said, I want to do this.
First of all, I have to give you tremendous credit. You are literally the only person who's threaded that needle.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
Other than me, of course. But I will tell you, I started my career in luxury retail. Mm-hmm. At Christmas, as a matter of fact, and it's, I don't know when you're going to air this episode, but it's almost Christmas now.
Okay.
So I came up through the ranks. But I watched my father over my entire lifetime, of course,
mm-hmm.
doing radio interviews, doing talk shows, doing personal appearances, and I watched him very carefully craft his answers and control the questions. And controlling the questions was, I think, one of my biggest lessons. It didn't matter, even when he was 80 and I would watch him do radio interviews on the phone, he had notes. And this is a pro. This isn't about not remembering things.
Mm-hmm.
This is making sure you have dates and names and films and locations at the ready. He always deferred any kind of question that involved asking about his wife or his children, if he had any children. He always deflected, and he said, you know, we're here to talk about the Lone Ranger.
Mm-hmm.
And that is exactly branding. I watched him do that for my entire life. I never pieced together that's really what he was doing, but in hindsight, yeah, 100%, 100%. So it's interesting to me, and to your point about whether I chose that as a career. No, I didn't. What I chose as a career was convincing people to do things, right? So if you're in retail, you are essentially selling, and selling is convincing.
Mm-hmm.
The convincing part was always more interesting to me than actually taking anyone's money.
Yeah.
So that is where, absolutely, we can definitely make the connection there, because I sat with a few of them after.
And look, to borrow a phrase, the proof is in the pudding. The fact that three generations of viewers still embody the values that your father embodied throughout his life, and many people have entered careers of service because of the values he conveyed when he played the Lone Ranger or when he appeared in person and talked to them.
That actually is probably the most extraordinary thing to me about my father and my father's career. And I was kind of put on the spot at the Memphis Film Festival on Dad's centennial. And I was on a panel, and I was asked by an audience member, what do you think your father's legacy is? And I had never been asked that up until that moment, and I hadn't thought about it. And it literally came to me that it was in the fan letters from the policemen and from firemen and from teachers and from even clergymen, all of whom said that they chose careers of service, exactly as you noted, because of Dad's, not just his performance, but who he was as a person. And honestly, I don't know if it gets any better than that.
Don Moore is on the line with us. Don Moore, daughter of Clayton Moore, the actor known around the world to three generations of television viewers as the Lone Ranger. Don has enjoyed a very successful career as a marketer of fancy luxury things. You can learn more about what Don does by going to her website, moreabout.com. And that, of course, is M-O-O-R-E, moreabout.com. When did you first realize that your dad was a little more famous than most of the other dads at school?
Oh, gosh. Ironically, we were buying a television. That's another thing that was kind of funny. I was maybe 9, and we were at a local Southern California department store called the Broadway. For anyone who lives in Southern California, mm-hmm. they might remember the Broadway. And we were shopping for a television, and my father was asking the salesperson a bunch of questions. And the salesperson, midway through this diatribe of questions, said, hey, your voice sounds so familiar. And it literally all of a sudden dawned on them who it sounded like, because, you know, my father had a very distinctive voice, obviously,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
So she asked if he was the Lone Ranger, and of course at that moment he loved fans. He was very kind to fans, but I was looking at it saying, "What? How do you know who he is? Why are you asking that?" I mean, it totally befuddled me.
Well, I can understand why, because from what I've learned about your dad when he was not in front of the camera, when he was just at home, he liked to have fun. He was the first person to jump in the pool. And some of the people he would invite over to the house, like Johnny Weissmuller, you may not have known that they were in the movies. He was just dad's friend, Johnny.
My father was a big kid, 100%. He absolutely was all about having fun. Thank God my mother, was okay having the disciplinarian role in the house. or maybe she wasn't. Honestly, I guess in hindsight, I don't really know if she was okay with it or not, but she got saddled with it. Dad was everybody's buddy. He was absolutely everybody's buddy. And all the kids wanted to come to the house, not because he wasn't the Lone Ranger at home, but it was the big kid who would play walrus in the pool or help you learn how to play baseball or teach you how to ski down the street in the snow. And he was the first one out there doing the fun stuff. Yeah, he was a trickster and a big jokester.
Don Moore is on the line with us. Don Moore, daughter of Clayton Moore, the actor known around the world to three generations of TV viewers as the Lone Ranger. Calendar year 2024. And the 2024-2025 television season, believe it or not, marks the 75th anniversary of the premiere of The Lone Ranger on television. That's kind of staggering to think about, but it just goes back to all the various people from all walks of life and all ages who remember the impact your dad had on them growing up and how they I would imagine it has to feel good to know that when people come up to you, to know that your father continues to have an impact.
Well, it definitely feels good to know if they come up to me, they're not mad. you never know these days. Everybody's mad about something.
That's true.
No one's mad at Dad, that's for sure.
That's true.
Yeah, I have to tell you, the really cool thing that's happened recently is the Lone Ranger Fan Club Facebook page is just really extraordinary and filled with a lot of very, very, very kind people and people who not just, are Clayton Moore fans, but are fans of the character. And it was brought to my attention that there is a young boy by the name of Tucker Thompson who had gone to his history class dressed as the Lone Ranger, as the historical person day in their historical person day at school. And when I saw the video of him in the costume, but talking about being Clayton Moore, not talking about being the Lone Ranger, and that was the big distinction, he was very specific. His presentation was very noble, and it was very articulate. And it really brought tears to my eyes because here it is, and this was a couple of years ago, so here it is, 2022 or whatever it was, and there's a 8-year-old boy talking about being the, Clayton Moore, not being the Lone Ranger, being Clayton Moore on historical person's day at school. And I thought, that is what it's all about right there. It really was so moving and tough to play a big part in a local museum. Anyone who's interested in kind of digging a little further, Lone Ranger Fan Club on Facebook, he and his mother, Emily, are members, and it's just an extraordinary thing. So that part of it, that feels amazing.
Yeah.
So that's the fun part for me.
We mentioned before, Don has enjoyed a very successful career in marketing and designing, and though she did not necessarily seek a career in the world of entertainment herself, there have been many times in the course of what Don does, such as the time she met Elizabeth Taylor in 1999 as part of the print and TV campaign for the White Diamonds fragrance line, when Don's work has crossed over into the world of showbiz. You can learn more about what Don does by going to moreabout.com, M-O-O-R-E, moreabout.com. What was it like to meet Elizabeth Taylor?
She is just fabulous. I swear. Every everything you have ever read about this woman. She was 2 hours late. She came in with her dog who peed all over the floor. It was exactly as anticipated. And had it not been that, I would have been disappointed. She was every single thing that you've read about.
Mm-hmm.
She was kind. She was professional. She was a dame. She was, at the end of the photo shoot, she was actually in a lot of pictures. She came in on a wheelchair for the shoot. But the reason I bring that up is to say, of course, everyone on this commercial wanted a photograph of Elizabeth Taylor, who worked with her that day.
Mm-hmm.
And she sat there, and every single person just kind of came in and out of frame, and the photographer quickly took pictures of everyone, yes, including me. But I remember I leaned in, and just how incredibly professional she was and kind, and she said, and I don't remember exactly what I said, said something about being jealous of her diamond or something. I don't know what it was. And she said, "Oh, you witch." But it was only the two of us that could hear that, right?
Yeah.
We were both whispering and not moving to get the photograph. She just was amazing. Those kinds of moments are what's really extraordinary about being able to have had the career I had. So.
And it's cool because, as we mentioned before, even though both your mom and your dad worked in show business, and they had show business friends, so you were not wowed easily, and yet when Taylor made her entrance that day, you felt a frisson. That was cool. That was cool to hold.
Oh, are you kidding? Elizabeth Taylor? I mean, I got to meet Michael Jackson. I mean, I was with Michael Jackson sitting on the floor of his closet with him, the two of us alone in his closet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I got super lucky in my career, and those are just really extraordinary, you know, memories. And weirdly, those were not things my okay. So, P.S. to the story about Elizabeth Taylor and taking the photograph.
Okay.
I get the photograph. You know, of course, it gets all retouched because it's Elizabeth Taylor. Although she did not need retouching. Let me point that out. She didn't need any retouching, but it did anyway. So I get my copy, and I bring it home to Dad to show it to him because I'm over the moon, of course, mm-hmm. and I got to meet Elizabeth Taylor, and I had my photograph taken with her, and the photograph was taken by the world-renowned Herb Ritz. So, and I get to the house, and I'm so excited, and I want to show Dad, and I take the picture out, and I don't say anything. I just hand it to him. I said, "Dad, look, this is so exciting." And he goes, "Oh, that's nice." And he goes, "That's the Taylor girl." And I'm like, "Yeah, it's Elizabeth Taylor." "What do you mean it's the Taylor girl?" And he goes, "He goes, well, that's what I said."
That's funny.
And I thought, okay, all right, this is not a big deal to you. It's a big deal to me. It was so funny to me that he was just so nonplussed by the, "That's the Taylor girl. Taylor girl. Thank you so much."
Don Moore is on the line with us. Don Moore, daughter of Clayton Moore, and one of the leading and most diversified professionals in the luxury industry. The 2024 2025 television season marks the 75th anniversary of the premiere of The Lone Ranger. We'll take a quick time out. We'll talk some more with Don about her father's legacy when we come back here on TV Confidential.
This portion of TV Confidential is brought to us by our friends at Front Porch Realty, the community of realtors in the Northern Bay area of California that is committed to finding the solution that is best for their clients. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or looking to sell or lease your property in Northern California, call Karen Strain at 415-886-7411 or visit frontporchrealtygroup.com for more information on how they can help you.
One more item. Are you starting a company in an emerging market or developing something new? Do you have intellectual property but aren't sure how to protect it? Reach out to our friends at Tectonic Law. They offer rock-solid representation for groundbreaking industries who need help capturing and protecting their full portfolio of intellectual property and intangible assets, including trademark rights, copyright rights, and privacy rights. Tectonic Law streamlines the complex intricacies of intellectual property and business law in easy-to-understand terms that will help you and your company form a concrete plan of action to secure and protect the value of your brand and your creative work product. Tectonic Law is licensed to practice throughout the state of California. They also practice before such tribunals as the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office and the Internet Corporation for assigned names and numbers. Go to tectoniclaw.com to learn more about how Tectonic Law can help your business thrive. Tectoniclaw.com, rock solid representation for groundbreaking industries. This portion of TV Confidential is brought to you by PrisonFit. PrisonFit, a new comprehensive, and integrated approach to exercise, food, and employment that was developed by prisoners, for prisoners, parolees, and anyone else listening to this program who would like to improve their overall health and well-being. You can learn more about PrisonFit by going to PrisonFitLife.com. PrisonFit's mission is to create work, programs, and partnerships that will provide both incarcerated inmates and released or paroled individuals with meaningful employment, training, rehabilitation, and reentry opportunities while treating them with dignity and respect. PrisonFit's main program, Introduction to Small Business, not only has graduated more than 500 in-prison students, but has produced a two-year released graduate recidivism rate of 6.7%. PrisonFit will expand its Introduction to Small Business program on a statewide basis in 2025, and this is where you can help. PrisonFit is conducting a Kickstarter campaign throughout the month of January 2025 to offer the public various fitness publications and products. The proceeds from this campaign will not only complete and launch these publications and products, but will provide the necessary resources for PrisonFit's statewide in-prison Introduction to Small Business course. For more information, go to PrisonFitLife.com and click on the Go to Kickstarter button. That's PrisonFitLife.com. Click on the Go to Kickstarter button, PrisonFitLife.com. Click on the Go to Kickstarter button or go to Kickstarter.com and search for PrisonFit. One more item. If you're starting a company, particularly one that is in an emerging market, you know that averting any sort of legal dispute is crucial to your business plan. Our friends at Tectonic Law offer an array of services that can help you avoid and preempt future litigation while also developing and protecting your intellectual property and intangible assets. Tectonic Law serves the needs of a host of emerging industries throughout California and beyond, including industrial designers, beverage makers, artists, farmers, retail stores, health practitioners, wellness experts, cosmetics manufacturers, nonprofit organizations, innovators in sustainable practices, and libraries. Go to TectonicLaw.com to learn more about how Tectonic Law can help your business thrive. TectonicLaw.com, rock solid representation for groundbreaking industries.
Hi, this is John Barber, and you're listening to TV Confidential.
And Robert, with a reminder that the next edition of TV Confidential will premiere next week. Anyone can walk in, buy this mask. We'll play part two of our conversation with Pat Boone. Plus, we'll welcome Emmy Award-winning actress Louise Schaefer. Louise Schaefer, one of the stars of Ryan's Hope. We hope you'll join us for that. In the meantime, our guest this hour is Dawn Moore. Dawn Moore, daughter of Clayton Moore, the actor known around the world to three generations of television viewers as the Lone Ranger. Dawn Moore, also one of the leading and most diversified professionals in the luxury industry. You can learn more about Dawn and what she does by going to her website, moreabout.com, M-O-O-R-E, moreabout.com. A couple of days ago, as I was getting ready for our conversation, I came across the clip of your dad's appearance on Real People in 1980, which is at the height of the whole controversy over the making of the Legend of the Lone Ranger movie and the circumstances where he was forced to not wear the mask in public and all of that until he eventually won the right to wear it again in court. There are two takeaways from that. One, the Real People clip is just one example of how the public just totally embraced him. They got what he was doing, and you get a sense of the love he felt when he made that appearance that day. And my question for you is, everyone knows that the Legend of the Lone Ranger tanked at the box office. Did your dad take any satisfaction in the fact that it didn't succeed, or was he bigger than that?
Well, there's two answers to that. One is, and they're both honest. One is, he's human.
Yeah.
You know, I can't imagine on the inside he didn't take some level of pleasure, but on the outside, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. Never. He was much too magnanimous. He was too kind. And that, he always taught, and this wasn't the Lone Ranger thing, this was the Clayton Moore thing.
Mm-hmm.
He always taught me not to, you know, that's belittling people or being, you know, smaller than some, that's just, that kind of behavior was just not part of his makeup by any means. I mean, but inside, I honestly hope, he was glad it tanked. You know, I would have been.
Well,
so yeah, I don't know. Yeah, the only part of any of that was probably challenging is simply that he wasn't asked to be part of it in a way that would have been significant. And that would have kind of smoothed over not just his positioning about it, but it would have smoothed over the fans' attitude about the film. You know, Maverick with
Mel Gibson and James Garner.
No, that's right. It, genius. Funny, smart, fun, clever. And had it been in that vein, would have been fantastic. So, you know, choices. I don't know. I'm not a producer. I'm not a director. It's not my jam. But he very much wanted to continue to portray the role. And I think that the important thing to kind of say about that is Dad had a respect for his fans. Mm-hmm. And I mean even when they were children. So in the 50s, he respected his fans. He did not talk down to them. And frankly, the Lone Ranger character was very elevated in his language. If you go back and watch the first two episodes of the show, their language is extremely elevated, very articulate, mm-hmm. And almost surprisingly so, right? So he really appreciated how he could affect the fans that were watching him and affect their lives in a positive way. And he took that very seriously. He did not take any of that for granted, and he found a lot of reward in portraying that character and how he was able to offer positive guidance for his fans. So because of his deep love for the character, that was probably really what was more challenging for him to navigate.
You mentioned how he took the high road. He did not publicly gloat when The Legend of the Lone Ranger tanked at the box office, and in many ways, that's embodying one of the core the core parts of the Lone Ranger creed, which again is something he embodied for 40 years after the show went off the air.
Well, he embodied it just to set the math straight. It was actually almost exactly 50 years, by the way. Mm-hmm. He got the role when he was 35 years old, and he died at 85. So he pretty much, I think he sent his last fan letter out on his 85th birthday.
Wow.
He was portraying the character for 50 years. You know, the creed was written by Fran Stryker as the Bible, basically, for the writers of the radio show, as in, what would the Lone Ranger do in XYZ situations? So as they were continuing to create the series, the radio series, they would always know that in any situation that they had this template to go back to. So it's not like a cowboy code. It's not as Boy Scoutish, I guess I want to say, as maybe some of the other cowboy codes that were out there at the time. It's pretty profound. It's very timely and timeless, and very powerful.
Before I forget, we mentioned at the beginning of our conversation that Don and I met a couple weeks ago at the opening of the Roy Rogers exhibit at the Hollywood Museum. I spent an afternoon at the museum last week, and I took a closer look at the exhibit. There is a photo of your dad in costume with Roy Rogers and Dale Evans and Jay Silverheels, and I think I don't know whether they're at a football stadium or a soccer stadium, but it's a full crowd. And my friend Chuck was with me that day, and he said he can imagine how excited that the energy of that place when not just your dad showed up, but all four of those people showed up, all four of those iconic figures that are so important to our childhood and our parents' childhood, and as you mentioned with that little kid from a couple of years ago, our children today.
I know what picture you're talking about, and the thing that's kind of funny and ironic, and I might have mentioned it actually at the opening. You know, Dad worked with Roy in 1948's The Far Frontier, and that was one of Roy's films.
Mm-hmm.
And Dad was, you know, a journeyman actor. I mean, he'd been acting for 10 years, but, you know, he wasn't really getting anywhere. He certainly had speaking roles. I mean, he was kind of Should I even say co-star? I don't know that I can even say co-star in The Far Frontier. But in the following year is when he got the Lone Ranger role. So here he is in 1948, you know, playing as a B actor in a co-starring, you know, kind of sub-role to the very famous Roy Rogers at that point, 1948, huge movie star. And 10 years later, to your point, there's not even 10 years later, I think that image was 1956.
Mm-hmm.
Here he is in the center with Silver, mounted on Silver, with Roy and Dale next to him on one side and Jay on the other side. As famous, for sure, as famous as Roy and Dale. So it's interesting trajectory, right? I mean, how important television was and how quickly television made people famous.
Happy Trails, the new exhibit honoring the life and legacy of Roy Rogers and Dale Evans, currently on display at the Hollywood Museum, 1660 North Highland Avenue in Hollywood, California. Tickets for more information, thehollywoodmuseum.com. Dawn Moore is our guest this hour, sharing a few memories about the life and legacy of her dad, Clayton Moore, the actor known around the world as the Lone Ranger. For more about Dawn, go to moreabout.com, M-O-O-R-E, moreabout.com. Dawn Moore, you're a lot of fun. I'm going to figure out a way to get you back on my program because I enjoy talking to you.
Well, same, Ed. So fun to meet you. And by the way, you know, next time we're at an event and you grab me by the shoulders and say, hey, you, I'll know who you are.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ed.
Thank you very much. We'll talk again soon.
Alrighty, thanks.
A reminder that Pat Boone's latest movie, Our Crossroads, is scheduled for release later in 2025, while Miracle in the Valley is available on Amazon Prime, other streaming platforms. The Knight Rider Companion by Nick Nugent, Knight Rider Companion Abridged Edition, available through our friends at Black Pond Press, as well as Amazon.com. Ed Robertson, Tony Figueroa, Donna Allen, Phil Grice, and Susan Silver, thank you so much for listening. Stay healthy, stay safe. We'll talk to you next time on TV Confidential.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it.
800-365-4216. 800-365-4216. 800-365-4216. That's 800-365-4216.
This portion of TV Confidential is brought to you by PrisonFit. PrisonFit, a new, comprehensive, and integrated approach to exercise, food, and employment that was developed by prisoners, for prisoners, parolees, and anyone else listening to this program who would like to improve their overall health and well-being. You can learn more about PrisonFit by going to PrisonFitLife.com. PrisonFit's mission is to create work programs and partnerships that will provide both incarcerated inmates and released or paroled individuals with meaningful employment, training, rehabilitation, and reentry opportunities while treating them with dignity and respect. PrisonFit's main program, Introduction to Small Business, not only has graduated more than 500 in-prison students, but has produced a two-year released graduate recidivism rate of 6.7%. PrisonFit will expand its Introduction to Small Business program on a statewide basis in 2025, and this is where you can help. PrisonFit is conducting a Kickstarter campaign throughout the month of January 2025 to offer the public various fitness publications and products. Proceeds from this campaign will not only complete and launch these publications and products, but will provide the necessary resources for PrisonFit statewide in-prison Introduction to Small Business course. For more information, go to PrisonFitLife.com and click on the Go to Kickstarter button. That's PrisonFitLife.com. Click on the Go to Kickstarter button. PrisonFitLife.com. Click on the Go to Kickstarter button or go to Kickstarter.com.
Woman! Hey, friends. RC here with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor, Padron 60th anniversary. My new personal favorite, starting with an exclusive perfecto shape, handcrafted by one master roller using only the finest tobaccos from Nicaragua. After 60 years of excellence, this cigar is Padron's masterpiece. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Join Token's radio show every Sunday at 2 p.m. on 96.5 FM and AM 1460 as host Christy Matthews and Linda Kent explore the exciting world of cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. Learn how Bitcoin is revolutionizing finance and grasp sound money principles. Hear new perspectives on achieving financial freedom beyond broken institutions. The future of money is here. Empower yourself with knowledge. Listen to Token's radio show with Linda and Christy this Sunday at 2 p.m. on KCNR. Big and exciting changes are underway.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.